Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community on this beautiful Palm Sunday. A few ways that you can learn more about the ways GPC is church together is to take a look at your bulletin. It is full of announcements regarding worship and fellowship, mission and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning to receive your questions and comments. Also, at any time during the service, if you would take the hospitality register and sign your name and pass it along, that way we can greet one another by name and also follow up with you if you are a visitor. Also included in your bulletin, make sure you take note of the wonderful Holy Week services taking place here at GPC this week. Yes, there will be an Easter sunrise service bright and early at 6 a.m. I'm sure I'll see all of you there. The patio is going to be full, I have a feeling. But we will also be serving communion at that 6 a.m. service. Please note that this morning we are receiving the One Great Hour of Sharing. There are envelopes in your bulletins. And kids, if you brought your fish banks, bring them up with you during the children's time. If you forgot them, it's okay. You can bring them next week. The deacons would like to invite you to Fellowship Hall following worship this morning. They are going to begin to periodically have cards for members of the congregation to sign that we can send to our homebound members. So please make your way, enjoy a good cup of coffee, and show your prayers of support for our homebound members. And if you have not yet signed up for St. Joseph's House of Hospitality, we are in need of food donations, folks to help prepare and also serve. That's taking place this weekend, a great way to observe the Holy Week. And the final announcement that I have this morning is to let you all know that on Sunday, April 27th, there will be a meeting of the congregation following worship. And the purpose of that meeting is to dissolve the call between Gates Presbyterian Church and the associate pastor. We will also be providing updates about the temporary supply leadership position following Carol Ann's retirement. There will also be an update of the 2014 budget, as well as the possible election of officers. We are currently in need of one elder and one trustee to serve. If you are feeling God's call to serve in either of those positions, please see me after worship, and I'd be happy to tell you more about that. We have one other announcement, and Dan, there you go.
Just a gentle reminder, 3 weeks from yesterday, it is the Kentucky Derby. But besides that, it is the annual spring cleanup, and there are many jobs to do, and hopefully you will all join us. Thank you.
And we will hope that there's not snow that day. Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Thank you. Stand with me, if you're able, for the call to worship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together. God, we gather on this day to begin a week of contrast. As we begin the week, as we join with the crowd, as the story unfolds,
open us to both the whole and the pain.
In this time of worship,
prepare us to celebrate, to tremble, and to wait. We pray in the name of the one who leads the parade.
Were crowded. Shouts came from deep in the heart. Save us from lukewarm faith. Save us from callous indifference. Save us from paltry hopes and petty dreams. Save us from unquenchable greed. Save us from lazy habits and faithless commitments.
Hosanna,
save us. Save us from soft-mindedness and hard-heartedness.
Hosanna, save us.
We cry from the depth of our hearts and the very pit of our souls.
Hosanna, save us.
Oh God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen.
time, Carolee Ann and I invite Easton Daniel, son of Charlie and Danielle Lenway, to the font. And little brother, too. And I'm going to bring some friends with me because they're going to have a hard time seeing from over here. Is that all right? Okay. All right, friends, can I have you leave your palms on the ground? Yeah, I kind of don't trust you with them. But why don't you come over? Come over here. So you guys can see, too. That piano's in the way. Why don't you come sit right here? Do that. There we go. Have a seat. Right down here. Right down here. But make sure you can see. Good morning, friends. And pick one. Look at this.
Got it this time.
How's it going? Come on. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you to the close of the age.
Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and confident of his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us all remember with joy our own baptisms as we celebrate the sacrament.
On behalf of Session, I present Easton Daniel Lenway, son of Danielle and Charlie, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Charlie and Danielle, do you desire for Easton to be baptized? Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your child?
Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Easton by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging him to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of his church? If so, please say, we do.
We do. Danielle and Charlie, in presenting Easton for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and embrace the covenant God has established to give us new life. As God embraces you within the covenant, I ask you to reject sin, to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, and to confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize, by answering the following questions. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And do you trust him? And do you intend for Easton to be his disciple, to obey his word and show his love, do you? Let us pray. God, our parent, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us with the Holy Spirit, so that what we may say may be your word and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. Eternal God, you nourish and sustain all living things with the gift of water. Your spirit hovers and moves, calling forth order and life. May all who splash in these waters experience new life through you. Amen. Now, one of the great gifts of this congregation is the kids are a part of this, and I made the mistake of not calling them all forward, but I love it because they started running forward anyway. If there are still children in the sanctuary who would like to come forward, come on down so you can see. Hi, little friends. Oh. It's all right. Hi. Oh, this is called the family of God, buddy. You ready for this? Yeah.
You know all. What is the name of your child?
Hi, Easton. Easton Daniel.
I baptize you in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. That is exactly right. Perfect. 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 Let us pray. Almighty God and giver of life, you have called us all by name and pledged to each of us your faithful love. We pray for your child, Easton. Watch over him, guide him as he grows in faith. God, you've given him understanding beyond his years already and a quick concern for his neighbors. Help him to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, who is baptized as your son and servant and who is our risen Lord. God of grace, we pray for these parents, Danielle and Charlie. Help them to know you, your love, to teach your truth and to tell the story of Jesus to their child, so that your word may be heard and bring about plans for us who have promised in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us stand and sing together from the green binder, Wonder of Wonders, as we greet Easton. Are you going to come back and hang out with me for a minute? You want to try it?
And now, if the children would just come over here, if you left your banks with Mom and Dad and you want to go get your banks, you could bring them right now. And if you went to sit down, oh, good, here comes some more. Oh. And I have to agree with Mr. Chapman. This is the day the Lord hath made, and we are really going to rejoice and be glad in it. Because about 40 days ago, this is what our banks sounded like. Can you hear anything? Can you hear anything? Now, there's another favorite psalm of mine, and that's Psalm 100. And that says, "Let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Can I hear your joyful noise? Wow. Oh, that's wonderful. And with that joyful noise, we've made a lot of small changes. We made little changes, so our little changes would add up. And I got to tell you, I kind of changed my thought this morning as I walked in. Now, a lot of you might not know Mr. Fish. that if you know Mr. Fish, go up and see him today because he's wearing a very special T-shirt. And he even surprised me. I know Mr. Fish has done a lot and been in a lot of work projects. But he's wearing a special T-shirt today because he was part of a One Great Hour of Sharing mission right here in the United States, actually just a couple hundred of miles away down in Pennsylvania, and he worked on a flood relief. And he helped rebuild a town after a flood, and he is wearing his T-shirt that says Presbyterian Mission Project, Mission Assistant. So Mr. Fish was one of disaster relief. And so Mr. Fish was helped by some of the small change that was collected a couple of years ago. So go talk to Mr. Fish about what he did and the kinds of things that people in the Presbyterian relief do. And the splashing in the water today, I didn't even know it was baptism, but that's what I wanted to share with you today. When you throw a little pebble in the water, or splashes happen in the water, little ripplets of water come out. So your little changes make rings of change that just keep getting wider and wider and wider. And I want you just to know how special all these little changes together are. So as we leave, we're going to put these on the worship table. And right now, we're just going to say a little prayer. And then we're going to get back to Sunday school. So we got to keep our banks quiet for just a minute. Okay. God, thank you so much for being with us today in this beautiful day. And please take our small changes and create big changes in the world. Thank you.
Our first reading of the word from Zechariah 9th chapter was written about 480 years before Christ was born. So therefore, it was about 500 years this prediction was made before Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem. So I think we need to be in awe of God's miraculous working and prediction and plans for us. Also, his promise for us is still true today. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. And for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double.
the gospel reading for this morning, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send, them immediately." And this took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and other cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet, Jesus, from Nazareth in Galilee." You may have missed Fusion Sunday 2 weeks ago because the plows didn't make it to your neighborhood either. But don't worry, you weren't alone. And for the brave souls with four-wheel drive, you might remember that one of the prayer stations focused on our Lenten theme, the abundance of enough. And it asked participants to go through magazines and newspapers, images, and identify different objects and ask themselves whether they would consider that item to be a need or a want. Snow didn't make the list either, but a few surprises did end up in the need category: mouthwash, a swing set, and puppies. Arguably, most animal lovers would categorize our furry little friends as needs in our life and take comfort because, well, Jesus did. A funny little part of our scripture story this morning that often gets lost amid the crowds and the parades and the waving branches: that the two disciples chosen by Jesus to go into the small town outside of Jerusalem and untie the mother and baby donkey duo with only the words, "The Lord needs them, should anyone ask." And if we know anything about this day, Palm Sunday, we know that Jesus needs this to happen. And if we know anything about the gospel writer of Matthew, we know he really needs to make sure everyone understands this needs to happen. Matthew's gospel is all about the plan. Time and time again, the gospel writer tells us about how this or that is going to happen in order to fulfill a prediction of the prophets. And in this case, it's the prophet Zechariah. "Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Matthew ensures that his readers make that connection to the prophet. And all the gospel writers record their own versions of the story as Jesus enters the gates of Jerusalem during Passover, with the cheering crowds behind him and in front of him and on all sides of him. These crowds keep getting larger and larger, and they're all there in Jerusalem to celebrate. To celebrate and commemorate God delivering the Israelite people from slavery in Egypt. Theologians remind us on this day, the Israelite people are not alone in the holy city. The Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, processes into the city through the opposite gate with all his forces. Armed troops and soldiers on horseback, rank upon rank, marching into town with one unambiguous message. We're all you need. You need us to keep the peace with our swords and our spears. You need us to solve your problems with our technology and superior intellect. You need us to determine who belongs here and who doesn't. You need us to render justice with our power and our authority when everything gets out of control. We're all you need. And on his donkey, with the furry little colt in tow, Jesus engages this concept of need in a starkly different way. Throughout the Gospels, we've heard the stories of Jesus needing to share meals with prostitutes, day laborers, tax collectors, and lepers alike. Jesus needs to bring the good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free. Jesus needs to demonstrate a radical and inclusive love nothing can conquer. Not even death. So Pilate and his armies ride in from the west, and Jesus comes from the east. And while Pilate sits up high on his chariot, Jesus sits on a donkey, an implement of agriculture, instead of an engine of war, a tractor. Instead of a tank. And while Pilate has his troops, the best equipped, the best trained, the most ruthless army the world has ever known, Jesus comes surrounded by an unwashed peasant mob of no ones. Two very different kingdoms. And on this day, Jesus calls the question, Jerusalem, what do you need? Of all the gospel writers, Matthew speaks of a city in turmoil, literally stirred up or trembling. Sizo is the word from which we get the word seismic. From this stir of emotions and confusion about what Jesus' question even means. And this will be the first of many earth-shaking, people-trembling, seismic events that are taking place over the upcoming week. From the streets of Jerusalem to the hill on Golgotha, and concluding with the appearance of an angel in an empty garden tomb, we will wonder, what do we need to be faithful in this world today? And as he rides into town, Jesus forces the issue with the people of Jerusalem. People, what do you need? Do you need me? Or do you need Caesar? The Roman Empire? Or the kingdom of God? What do you need? In Brian Mahan's book, Forgetting Ourselves on Purpose, Vocation, and Ethics of Ambition, he claims that we don't even really know the answer to that question. We know what we think we need. We've been told over and over again. We've been socialized. It's the air we breathe in culture today to think that we need all sorts of things. Money, prestige, power, success, the nicest toys, the biggest swing sets. But those are just the things that we want. They aren't the things that we need. What we need, what we really need, what we most deeply long for, is to respond to the pain. To respond to the pain of this world, to offer ourselves to the service of something greater than our own ambition. What we all really need, what we long for and yearn for, is to love God, to love each other. What we really need, we saw happen this morning at the font. We all need a small child to reach into that water and place it on our heads. We need to remember, all of us, that we are made in the image of God, that God has a plan and a purpose for us. We need to remember that we are joined to Christ's ministry of love and peace and justice. And nothing, not even death, can separate us from that love. As the parade passes by, and as the palm branches wave, and the city trembles, there are profound implications for all our lives as a community of faith. In a world where Caesar says that might makes right, that we can solve all our problems with just a few more bullets and bombs, we so desperately need to be learning and practicing in our own homes the ways of peace. And in those times when we are tempted to hate and to fear the stranger among us, we need to remember that we were once strangers in Egypt. And in those days when the hungry and the homeless cry out for bread, we need, all of us need, to break out of those anxious cycles of fear that tell us we never have enough, and begin to let go and share the abundance. In this season, when the oppressed and exploited cry out for justice, we need to stand up, to speak up, and demand something better. in this world where precious people created in the image of God, people living right here in our own community, here in Gates, here in Rochester, believe that they will never be smart enough or successful enough or straight enough to know the deep, deep love of God in Jesus Christ, we need to start sharing the good news about a community of faith called Gates Presbyterian Church, where all God's children are nurtured by word and deed, with love and prayer, and are encouraged to know and follow Christ. We may live this morning under the rule of Caesar, but we are made for life in the reign of God. Friends, we need to remember who we are. We need to pick up that palm branch. Why don't you pick it up? We need to pick it up, come off the curb, and follow the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We need to follow this all the way to Friday and to all that lies beyond. Hosanna. Save us. This is what we need. Amen.
I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
Jim Bull again. Prayers for my brother Mark and his wife. shortly after the service for Mom. He went home and his mother-in-law passed away, so they are having some bad times. So your prayers would be welcome. Thank you.
Amanda Lubsky. Many of you know the Hart family. They attend here regularly, Brian and Amanda and their four children. Brian lost his mom Thursday to complete lung failure. It was kind of a shocking situation that unfolded over a few weeks. And the family's traveling to Kansas today for her funeral, so if you would just keep them in your thoughts and prayers, it'd be appreciated.
J.C. Wushan. Velta and I, over the past few weeks and months, have been asking for prayers for two good, long-time dear friends, Jennifer and Phyllis. We ask you this morning for continued prayer for Phyllis as she is undergoing some long-term treatment. She's finishing chemo, and in a few weeks, she's going to be starting very aggressive radiation treatment. And this morning, we ask for prayers for Jennifer's family, her husband, Rupert, her three daughters, and her mother. Jennifer passed away last Monday in Hamilton, Ontario, and yesterday we went up for her service. And Jennifer, her life, she loved her family, she loved friends, she loved people, she loved her Lord. And yesterday was a testament of that because we had a full house celebrating her life, and followed by a wonderful burial under a sunny sky and gentle breeze. And she's touched many lives and warm personality. And we experienced that yesterday on the way back to the border. Normally, if you know, since 9/11, you experience no personality at the border with the border guards. We got there, as always, we expect, you know, passport. Before we even said anything, we were greeted by, "Hello, folks, how are you today? And where are you from? Rochester. Purpose of your visit? We're returning from attending a funeral." The reaction was, "Wow, we've had many people coming through. She must have been a wonderful person." And indeed, she was. And again, we ask for continued prayer for her family.
Prayerful community today, as our children also share their joys and concerns from Sunday school, for prayers for safe travel, joys for sleepovers at Grandma and Grandpa's house, of course for playing baseball and friends, prayers of joy for tulips and buttercups, prayers of concern for friends with broken bones and a cat who is now in heaven, prayers for an awesome week and the best baptism ever. Our kids are great. Prayers for a good Easter and safe travels over spring break, and for joys of the different ways that our children help care for the earth.
Let us pray. God, parade master of all, we wave palms, we sing Hosanna, and we welcome Christ, our liberator, into our lives. Yet we confess that sometimes we treat this sacred parade like all the other parades in our lives, willing to embrace the emotional high of the moment, but not willing to embrace the faith discovery of the week. Increase our faith, O Lord. Help us, as Jesus taught us, to walk among the poor and outcast, to choose peace over violence, to respond with generosity over greed. Help us, O Lord, to be steadfast in our faith, even in the face of uncertainty. Touch our hearts with this, the most sacred journey of our faith, Holy Week. We bring to you this morning our one great hour of sharing offerings, and we pray for those who will receive our gifts. Open our hearts to the tears of those reassembling their lives after devastating disasters, and help us to hear the voices of those living in poverty. We give you thanks that we can be part of this healing process through this offering. Hear us now as we silently pray for those we know who are going through difficult times. Oh God, we ask that you now give us the courage to follow where the one on the donkey might lead us, to follow in places of life's challenges, but to follow with the hope of the risen Lord. Hear us as we pray the prayer our Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts forward.
Holy God, the crowds offer to your Son Jesus their coats to walk on. They wave palm branches honoring his presence. Today, we honor Jesus with our faithful offerings. We lay these gifts before you, humble tokens of our love, as the public display of affection for our King of Kings. It is our prayer that these gifts will be multiplied as they are used to bring the good news of Jesus to all your children of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our hearts are so sad.
we go forth knowing where this parade will lead. We leave with mixed emotions and feelings, questions and wondering into this week. Confident that we have faith in a God big enough to hold them all. So go. Go from this place confident in the grace of God, the hope of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit now and always. Amen.